going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello, welcome to a Game 1 edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. Tim Kawakami is lounging with me in what, well, probably like the Toyota suite or something. It's the courtside area of Toyota Center, right near where the Warriors, the visiting locker room, floods out towards their bench. It's like a lazy boy type couch area.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Nice, yeah, a little cuddly here late at night, post-midnight in Central Time. But this is like right around where Lacob was sitting. Not too far when Curry hit that flying three that Joe
probably like celebrated. 17 feet from that.
Yeah, we're right there. But this we've been here before. Put it that way, we've been in Houston. I don't even know if we weren't even doing the Slater podcast back then. But this feels a little familiar. I'll put it that way. The Warriors win in Game 1 in Houston. It's not the Western Conference Finals, but I have seen this before. We've all seen this before.
We would have been doing plenty of Warriors All 82s at the time. That was the All 82 era. And that was when it was actually All 82.
Yes.
Although we probably did like 69, 8, 72.
We were doing a lot of them. No question about that.
Okay. Warriors win 95-85, which, by the way, I was in this building, I don't know, 5 months ago, 4 months ago. 91-90, that cup game that was huge. Yep, I mean, like, these teams, we talked about it, right? Remember we did the preview. I was like, what's the over-under on this game? And, by the way, that Magic Celtics game was pretty low, too.
Yeah.
But this, I wouldn't have necessarily guessed 95-85, but played out about how both teams wanted it to. The Warriors strangled the Houston offense at the half court. Houston bashed them on the offensive glass and turned them over, you know, what, 14 times, 22 offensive rebounds, won the possession battle, shot 11 more times than the Warriors. Like, Houston kind of had the style of game they wanted, but the Warriors also won because they just don't believe Houston in a half court setting can score on them enough.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up fast break points. Warriors 16, Rockets 4. That's it. That's the game. Because the turnovers, you know, turnovers lead to points on the other side. The turnovers that don't lead to points on the other side, or that, you know, that you can control, they're not killers. The Rockets are incredible in transition. That's what they did in April 6. That was, you know, rightly focused on, rightly discussed, and they did not do it. They had, you know, they still make these wild turnovers. That's who the Warriors are, but they didn't accumulate, and they did not let Houston get out in the fast break. And Houston is not a good half court offense. And Pajemski said a couple days ago, and I was kind of laughing, like, their best offense is to throw up a ball off the rim and go get it. You know, they were like 42% offensive rebound rate. It was incredible that the Warriors survived this, but they did because Houston couldn't even make most of those on the second chance points. It was pretty bare bones basketball. That's what it was. And I think the Warriors feel very satisfied that they played this style of basketball, gave up so many offensive rebounds, and still were the better team. And they were the better team.
Houston does not have star guard play. That, I think, will end up defining the series. We'll see. It's 1-0.
What do you mean?
But
Jalen Green, 3 of 15. Fred VanVleet, 4 of 19. What are you talking about here?
7 of 34. I did the quick math for you right there. 7 of 34 combined. I just, you know, like Alperen Sengun's an awesome player. He had really nice moments, especially in the first half tonight. Draymond Green was giving him too much space. He's hitting the little push shot. He's tricky inside. He's one of their good offensive rebounders. Like, he'll cause problems. And Amen Thompson flew in for 6 offensive rebounds. But, look, Dylan Brooks getting 9 shots, hitting 3. And then, yeah, their backcourt, starting with Jalen Green, who got paid a lot of money and was, like, trying to attack the Steph Curry mismatch and really was kind of getting bottled up by Steph Curry in, like, isolation-type situations. The Warriors are very fine with Jalen Green taking a lot of contested shots.
And Dylan Brooks.
And even VanVleet a little bit. They've been burned by VanVleet in the past, right? Maybe this is a little bit of a, you know, the pendulum swinging back, because you can remember, I'm sure, in that final.
Toronto games, I can remember that. But no, Jalen Green never plays good against the Warriors. Except April 6th, he played good. But, like, he always gets clunky against them. It's hard to say exactly what happens. They seem to know where he's going. They seem to bump in a bit. And one thing that Kerr was talking about, like, a couple days before the game was, like, if they're physical and it's not called, we could be physical too. And they were physical on defense. They, you know, on the boards, whatever, they're just getting, you know. Houston's huge. Houston's freaking. Did you see that lineup? It was Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, where someone else was.
Steven Adams.
Yeah, Tari Eason, Steven Adams, and Sengun. It's like, those are gigantic starting lineup. Or lineup, whatever. And the Warriors were playing their normal stuff with Jimmy Butler, power forward, and Draymond Green at 5. And they held on. You know, maybe they won't hold on against that group in the next few games, but they got one. And getting game one on the road, you very rarely lose a series when you get game one on the road. I cannot think of a time the Warriors did it when they lost a series, and I'm pretty sure they never did.
Yeah, that is now 29 of 30, you know, in the Steph Curry era. He missed a full series in one of those, but... yeah, they always do this.
With a win, well, one win on the road.
With at least one win on the road, I should say.
Game one is even bigger, but 29 of 30. I was talking to Draymond a little bit about that afterwards. It's like, that's a pretty good number. It's a testament of what they are. And I love that number, just because if you can win on the road, it changes the entire series, because you can lose at home and come back and think, you know what, we can still come back and win on the road. So huge step, huge moment. Do you think the Rockets were a little jangled? Do you think they showed their playoff inexperience?
Not really. I think they showed their flaws as a team. I mean, I can remember, you know, so they get that 91-90 game here. And I know it's like nobody cares much about the Emirates Cup or whatever. But at the time, they got them getting to Vegas was this early season showcase for them of hey, they had started to ascend towards a top four type seed and a separation. And they went and they played the Thunder in what was basically the West Finals of that game in Vegas. And it was a showcase stage. Like, they were fired up. All their guys played big minutes. And the Thunder completely held them to, like, 80 points or something in that game. And that, after they had just beat the Warriors, only scoring 91. So I wasn't watching tonight thinking, oh, Jalen Green looks spooked, or, you know, Sengun isn't ready for the stage, or this or that. It's just, like, this is who they are offensively, you know, against good defenses. And they'll have bigger games. Jalen Green's not going to go 3 of 15. And it's good. This is going to be a challenge all the way to the end for the Warriors physically, because, you know, how many ice bags did you see in that Warriors locker room post game? Like they, you know.
They're glad they got 2 days off.
Yeah.
No question about that. And then another 2 days off after the next one.
Somebody made an interesting point to me within the Warriors that because of that, they feel like it's a must to be up 2-1 through 3 games.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I mean, this is when their veterans are going to be at their best. We've said that before. First round's elongated. This one is especially elongated in the beginning. And they could play Jimmy Butler 40 minutes. And they could play Steph, what'd he play? Almost, basically 40 minutes, 39-38. Jimmy Butler 42-13. Those are the guys who have to be in the game. Those are the guys who can hold up in this moment under that kind of pressure and make Houston pay for it. I thought Steph was incredible after, you know, a little bit not so great in the early going. Looked like the Rockets were going to go on a tear. Warriors kind of stabilize. The Warriors were actually plus +7, I think, in the non-Steph minutes the first time around. And then they absolutely needed him from then on. And he was amazing. I mean, those were not open shots he was hitting. Those were just a little bit of sliver of opening because they got the Amen Thompson flying at him. And he was hitting them. And he was great at the rim, too. So, it's Steph Curry. You understand that. He wasn't going to go 1-for-10. He wasn't going to score 3 points. As Quentin Post promised, he was fantastic. And Pshemski was good. Pshemski was really good. Game best plus +17. Just tough. Hit a couple good shots. He did not get beat up on the boards. Yeah, I think he had 7-8 boards. He was as good as he had to be. And then Moody hits a couple shots at the end. He had no shots until late of the fourth quarter.
Moody didn't have a good game up until that moment. Yeah. And then, you kind of erased that by hitting the two big shots.
I was almost thinking, is Kerr not going to play him in the close here? Because he had GP. He could have played GP.
But you're looking at the issues, I think, tonight. Gary Payton's the only guy that's a minus on the scorecard. He's a minus 10 in 15 minutes. The Rockets were completely leaving him, as expected.
It's not a good series for GP. It's just not.
Well, partly because there's not a star scorer to go lock into.
Well, Jalen Green, but then you're like, okay,
like I said, you almost want Ime Udoka and Jalen Green to be like, yeah, time to attack one-on-one all game against Steph Curry. You saw it tonight. Was there a moment tonight where you're like, oh, they need somebody out there to, bottle him up? But Gary Payton's a minus 10. Quentin Post, 0-3 shooting, 0-2 from three. He shot a corner three about 10 feet over the rim.
Pressure moment did not look great.
Yeah, and again, he's a rookie. Buddy Hield, 1-4 shooting, 0-2 from three. He had the lob pass that Steve Kerr was about to pull his hair out from the sideline. You had Jimmy Butler postgame basically telling him stop dribbling because some of those, getting rebound in traffic,
dribble. There was the one down the side there that was in front of the Rockets bench. The Warriors guys were going crazy because instead of trying to grab it, he's trying to dribble it out. It bounces right to a Rocket. They go right back up and they score. And it's timeout, Warriors. We got to figure this stuff out. But
honestly, you look at the bench, Guy Santos in his 6 minutes might have been the most, in a little mini pocket, minorly effective. He hit a three and he got two free throws. But we'll see. Jonathan Kuminga's a DMP.
I'm going to keep being a DMP, by the way.
Yeah, I do think, I could see where he could have helped in this game. But, I kind of agree with you. It seems like Steve Kerr is going to wait to play that card until he's forced to play that card. Yes. But I will say, part of your curiosity of if Moody would come back because he had struggled so much prior, the reason he went back to Moody is because nobody had earned those minutes. Yep. And that's maybe a little bit why I'm bringing up Kuminga. We don't need to talk about him much. I think we talk about him once he actually enters the series. We'll see if he actually does.
I'd just say every indication is that he is out of the rotation, period. Now, there might change, right? They start losing a game. They lose a game. That might be adjusted. But it wasn't going to be changed because the Rockets are so athletic. That was not going to be changed. It was going to be GP2. It was going to be Guy Santos. It was going to be all the things that we know. That this is not like a per series calculation. He is out of the rotation unless things change dramatically. And they win a game. But again, they win game one on the road. Is Steve Kerr going to change his mind from there? I just think that decision has essentially been made.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pajemski, you mentioned, I thought one of the biggest plays to seal it late was when the Memphis game, when he flew in and had a putback. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that. He didn't even make the putback this time, but he tipped it over the rim back over to Draymond for a putback. He's just making those small little plays. I thought a couple of his threes early were like stabilizers.
He belongs out there. That's like Curry said that. You know, when he first said it, I got my four. Steph, Draymond, Butler, who's the fourth?
Pajemski.
Yeah, that's right. That's the fourth.
Who you're talking about.
I know, like, that's late. Everybody's late. Really? Pajemski's guaranteed among the three Hall of Famers, but you see why. Like, he just fits in that. He's little. They're little, you know, against this team.
They just don't even care.
Yeah, this is who we are. That's like, this is who we are, and we're going to scrap it out. As Butler said, like, you know, we met brute force with brute force. And can they do this every single game? I don't know. It's going to be rough. They're going to be sore. Steven Adams is a freaking mountain and was awesome tonight. Yeah, but Warriors win the game. Like, they get through. If they can get through this, if they can win Wednesday, I do not think they're going to win Wednesday. I did call this one, by the way. I did call them winning game one. But I don't think they're going game two. If they win game two, holy Jesus, would that save them a lot? They win game three at home and then maybe just close it out. I'm just saying game two now is – you think the Houston was feeling the pressure tonight? Jesus Christ. In game two, the Warriors are up 6 at halftime. This place is going to get tense. What
you said, this reminds you of the Memphis series.
Yes.
From 22. And Memphis lost game one, although it was closer. Remember, Ja has that miss at the rim. Yes. And then Memphis came out. Memphis, by the way, spent the off days between one and two, which I expect, you know, Houston to talk about, of amping the physicality up even more. And that's when Dylan Brooks had the foul on Gary Payton early.
Yep.
Houston's going to come out desperate.
Yep.
And
how about getting Jabari Smith sometime in the offense? Like, makes one shot, two shots tonight. Like, he's a talented
player. Three of three.
Yeah, he's a talented player, and he just does not get shots. And Jalen Green.
Four turnovers, though.
Buddy. Yeah, I mean, he's not a perfect player. It's just, there's a guy I think they could get some shots because he's extremely talented. I mean, I don't know. I'm not Ime Udoka. I'm not making adjustments for him. I was like, why is this guy not getting shots? Because the guy is really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, to matter on Ime Udoka's team, you have to just be like, punishing defensively. I mean, Reed Shepard, I still think, is going to have a really good career. I mean, he's getting a DMP tonight.
He was on this team.
Yeah, third overall pick in the draft.
But, you know, I love Tari Eason. Absolutely think he's a dog. I would have him on my team every single time. When he was shooting the ball, what were you thinking? Miss. You know, he's not even close.
No, 0-4 from three. His threes in their previous game were, like, some of the worst threes I've seen.
They got a bunch of guys like that. It's like they're reductive. It's like the same guy, and it's showing a little bit. By the way, Amen Thompson, who I did not think played a bad game at all.
Minus 16,
my God. They got some things they can do. They got 2 days. They're going to come at them differently, but this is gravy for the Warriors now. I mean, game two is a bonus. I do not expect them to win it, but it's going to get tense in here. It's going to get, I mean, all-time tense was Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals 2018. There was nothing like the tension you felt in there on that game. We'll see if they're, you know, if they
on
can
which
play
of the missed threes of those legendary 27.
I could not believe. Well, I just, it's like one of the, like, I don't understand what's happening here. Would you drive to the freaking lane here? It was unbelievable. Totally different team, you know, and
very different.
They do not do that, but I just thought, I've been here when it's been tense, and it's going to be tense on Wednesday.
Thought it was a good crowd.
Very good. Not that many Warriors fans.
No, that's And by the way, during the regular season, it's usually loaded with Warriors fans in here, and it was not like that tonight, I would agree. Rockets, 34 of 87 shooting, so 39% overall, 6 of 29 from 3, 21% from 3, 11 of 20 from the line, 55%. We're talking about 39, 20, 55 shooting splits.
Free throws were killers early, too, just killers. Yeah. Thompson was killing them with shooting free throws. They can shoot the ball better. They will shoot the ball better. But the Warriors can play better, right? I mean, as I say, just 22 offensive rebounds. You cut that down to 10, it's a very different game. It looks different.
Warriors need more from their bench. I thought their bench had a bad night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when Kuminga name will come up in that, but it's not going to.
He's not going to play until he plays.
Yeah.
I do think it sits out there for them to use at some point. And it doesn't – you don't have to wait until emergency.
That'd be something, man. If Kirk up 1-0 on the road, he pulls out Kuminga for 20 minutes to run next time. JK, by the way, very good mood tonight. He was bouncing around, you know, talking, singing. You know, I just think he's not into pouting. He's not pouting.
So from all the, you know, like this is a regular conversation with people behind the scenes right now. People, you know, that are close with Kuminga, people that are working with him. They are assuring me, the world, whoever, that he'll be ready when asked, when called upon. They're saying he's going to be ready for the moment, believing it will come at some point in these playoffs. We will see.
Yeah. I had not seen him for several games in the locker room, but he was obviously on the road. It's harder to, you know, not be around. You are around. But he was smiling, and he was working. Probably working knowing he wasn't going to play. I think he was putting in an extra heavy workout, but I think he's not in a bad place. I do not think he's in a bad place. I mean, I don't think he's going to be back to the Warriors next year. I think most people think that, including Jonathan. But I don't think he's in a bad place, like what he might be able to contribute to.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be moments that all of these bench players are needed. There's going to be moments where Kevon Looney's going to be needed. You watch tonight and you're like, I don't think they're going to put Trayce Jackson-Davis in the game. But, like, would he maybe box out decently? You know, I'm just saying, like, this is NBA playoff basketball. Yeah. Like, guys who go, you know, maybe at some point Reed Shepard dust himself off and hit some threes because they need something offensively, you know.
Reed Shepard.
I mean, he's got some offensive
he's
talent.
He's talented, but, man, you don't play him. You don't play him. And they say, yeah, you know what? We're down on one. Let's go. Let's play it. Hey, maybe. Maybe. I don't know what practice is like.
Adjustments are needed.
I can think what Kerr's going to think is Buddy Hield's going to have to make some shots. Like, that's what he's going to think. That's their bench player who hits shots. And if Butler's playing 42 minutes and Steph's playing 40, you don't need that many bench points because those guys are going to be scoring all the – and be playing most of the time. Now, maybe you don't want to keep playing them 42 and 40.
Yeah.
But they're probably going to do that if they got a chance to win game two. They absolutely will. And then turn around and two more days off, they're going to do it in game three at Chase Center. The faster this goes, the better it is for the old players. You know, that's – and I don't think it's going to be fast, but if it's close on Wednesday, they're going to do this rotation, which is – pretty tight with some guys filling here and there, but I thought Butler might play the entire second half. And they took him out to start fourth, and they put Steph in, even Steph does not normally play those minutes. So that was kind of Kerr's way to work it out. But Jimmy Butler's hard to take off the court. Very, very hard to take off the court.
42 minutes tonight. Even prior to the game, you could tell the Warriors are confident about this matchup. They're confident about the math component of this matchup, the 21st-ranked Houston half-court offense. And I think there will be a level of desperation from their side to kind of put the foot on the throat in game two.
Yep. It's there for them. It's there for them.
It is. And I think, like, you look at their path in what is a brutal Western Conference – and we'll see. It's been one weekend of playoff basketball.
You're ripping me for looking ahead.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I just think, I don't know, look around. Like, Timberwolves-Lakers series, that was an interesting game one.
Yes, it was.
So, and that's the again, we're not going to look ahead. Well, what did you think? I mean, I guess we'll end it there. Like, well,
I'll tell you, the Timberwolves Lakers, obviously, that's the team that the winner of this series will play. And you looked at that game, the Timberwolves young and frisky and hopping all over the place. The Lakers not able to defend them, not able to keep up with them. You read all the stories afterwards. You got this young team is just here it comes. They were too much for the old team. Like, are we going to read about that? Are we going to write that for this series? And we're not writing that for this series, at least
not
in game one.
Not game one.
Yeah. And
game two can be different.
Yeah, game two probably will be different. Just a couple made shots. But Slater, how many times is it? We've seen this. We've seen the Warriors do this. I don't know how many times we're going to see it. And I don't know when the one time I say it and it's not true. But we have seen this team do this. And hey, they won, what, game two in Toronto and lost the series. Like, you can lose a series after winning a big game on the road. But it is in the DNA of this team. And now they've got freaking Jimmy Butler, who's got it, too. Going to be very tough for them to let go of the reins on this series, I think. Very tough. Even if I think it might go to game six, might go to game seven. Very tough for me to see this team get blown out, let's say, the rest of the way. It's going to be really tough, and they're going to fight for it. And I like the Warriors when they're fighting for it.
Interesting few days in the Western Conference coming up. You have the Lakers down 1-0. I think LeBron's going to come out torching in game two. You have Clippers kind of needing a game two win in what's, you know, a really fascinating series. And then the Warriors wouldn't face them until the West Finals, but decent playoff debut today for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That was all right. That was all right. I mean, you know, you win a game by 120 points, you're pretty good. Here's a question for you, Slater, Mr. OKC. Would the Thunder's second team beat the Memphis Grizzlies? And by how? And yes, I think they would. And by how many points?
Today they would have.
Taysom Wallace and freaking
Aaron Wiggins.
Aaron Wiggins and Isaiah Joe. And, like, this is a ridiculously good team. Ridiculously good team. But, hey, the Warriors don't have to think about them at the moment. But they're going to be done in four, and they're going to be sitting there resting again. This is what's going to happen with them. But, hey, whatever.
All right. We will talk to y'all after game two in Houston.
With Marcus Thompson. That's all. He's coming for Marcus, everybody. If you ask him where he is, he's coming for game two.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.